Welcome back to the program on Tuesday as we continue throughout this week. Yesterday we talked to David Sears about what happened in Tuscaloosa Saturday night as the number one ranked LSU Tigers took down Alabama in Tuscaloosa. And now I am joined by the college football professor, and that seems to be the pretty overwhelming topic coming out of last weekend is what happened in Tuscaloosa, because obviously that was the most important game. But overall, before we get to the situation you want to address, what were your thoughts about the previous weekend?
I thought that football game was a tremendous football game. I hear some people making comments about how it didn't live up to the billing. I think it actually surpassed the hype. It was just great football with great players.
Yeah, I agree with you. Now, you wanted to address something.
Yes, I thought as we began today that I'd make a comment about the Penn State situation. There are some things that transcend college football, and the situation at Penn State University is one of those. Now, this should be viewed outside college football as far as viewing it for the criminal activity and the moral activity and those things. There is no way to equate football with this mess. While it has had and will have tremendous ramifications for Penn State University athletics, this is more serious than the games. The depraved activity and subsequent turning of the proverbial blind eyes has neither excuse nor explanation. The pundit pronouncements of Joe Paterno's demise is bad commentary. This is a time for full investigation, full punishment handed out as it is needed, and to just reflect on a sad, sad situation. It's also sad when people from a distance who do not know facts, do not wait on full revelation, try to score points with stories like the one I read in the local newspaper today. This is more serious than to be used as another prop in sloppy journalism. This is a crime. It is sinful. It is a disgrace. There are victims, and there's pain, and there needs to be healing, and there needs to be responsible action and responsible commentary.
Indeed, well said. Let's move on now to what we have, what happened last week. And, of course, as we mentioned, the Alabama-LSU game was pretty much the story of the weekend as far as on the field. But there was another story, a couple of stories that hit the wire. One was Missouri was officially announced as a Southeastern Conference team, and they will be in the Eastern Division, according to SEC officials. Your thoughts on that?
Well, this is maybe completing, at least for a while, the picture that I think we all of us had a peak view, I think, of the canvas before the painting was actually revealed. And you know, I've got a lot of mixed emotions. First of all, I'd rather to have seen the conference remain as it was, but a lot of things just don't remain as it was. And so if we got to go forward, I guess that Missouri is as good as any other, maybe better than most.
Houston Nutt was relieved of his duties at Ole Miss, as was Athletic Director Pete Boone. Archie Manning is said to be leading up the search for the new head football coach at Ole Miss. Houston will not retain his duties after the season, though. They will wait till after the game with Mississippi State at the end of the year. Your thoughts on Ole Miss in that situation?
Well, I think the best thing Archie Manning could do, if he possibly has a grandson who could play, that'd probably help them more than anything else.
Or, things have been going south for the Mannings lately, as with Peyton and everything else. Well, any other thoughts on the previous weekend?
Well, I think that the Alabama-LSU game was, as I said, more than even the hype. This was a game where every play mattered. It still seems that these are the two best teams, and I'm not sure which one's best yet, but LSU takes that spot because they came out with a score of 9-6.
And Ole Miss and Kentucky, your thoughts on that game?
Well, as I said, Alabama-LSU was even more than the hype. Ole Miss and Kentucky was as bad as we thought it would be. The Oklahoma State and Kansas State game, 52-45, leaves a lot of questions to me. Now, think about this, Jacob. Kansas State scored 10 points. I mean, you know, they had 10 points scored on them by Eastern Kentucky. They had 17 points scored on them by Oklahoma. They had 24 points scored on them by Missouri. And now Oklahoma State allows them, Oklahoma State gives up 45 to Kansas State. So yeah, there's something missing there.
That, no question about it. You mentioned there South Carolina, Pittsburgh and Cincinnati. That's an interesting end to the game, huh?
It sure is. And, you know, this Cincinnati just keeps crawling along and maybe at the top of the Big East, 26-23 over Pitt. That was a big win for Cincinnati. And then I think another game that we have to look at is the Arkansas-South Carolina game. Now, Jacob, think about it. Arkansas beat South Carolina 44-28.
Yeah.
And this South Carolina team has a very good defense. So that's no fluke, 44 points to be scored on South Carolina.
I agree. And I will throw in there, and you talk about significant occurrences. How about Northwestern with their upset of Nebraska? That's incredible to me. And I think it kind of gave Nebraska a wake-up call that the Big 12 has some good teams. I'm not discounting Texas and Oklahoma, but I don't think the Big 12 top to bottom is anywhere near the Big 10 in that every team is competitive. Like the SEC, every team can be competitive, with the exception of Indiana and Minnesota this year. But most years you have a top-to-bottom competitive league, and, boy, they sure learned that when they played Northwestern the other day.
Yeah, there's some things there's no way you'll believe them until they happen.
Well, let's move on to our picks of the upcoming week, or do we want to do power rankings, okay?
Yeah, that didn't change much,
no.
Except I'm going to have to relent to you. I've been saying LSU and Alabama, so I'm going to have to say SEC is LSU 1, Alabama, Arkansas, Georgia, and South Carolina. The national rank.
I will finally put Georgia ahead of South Carolina with South Carolina's loss this weekend. Now, we'll see what Georgia does with the spotlight now that they have a chance against Auburn this weekend at home.
I'm glad you finally recognize that.
But hey,
order.
This is going to be an interesting weekend for the East because you have Georgia. How about this? On CBS, you have South Carolina, Florida in the morning. Okay, if South Carolina wins that game, how much pressure does that put on Georgia? Because if they win, they're in. If they lose, they're not.
Well, Georgia, you know, they really have the ability to crumble under pressure.
Nationally, what do we have?
I got LSU, Alabama. I'm sticking
with
that.
I would agree with you on that.
And then Oklahoma State. I am going to go with you now. I'm going to put Stanford above Boise.
Well, yeah, okay. I guess Boise can be in there, but I don't have a comment on Boise. But I think there are some other. I think if Boise played Oklahoma, who do you think would win? And that I'll just leave it at that.
I believe the Sooners would. But let me also point out something. If you looked at the strength of schedule, did you know Boise's strength of schedule is stronger than Stanford's?
I did not know that. But
I believe I saw that somewhere.
And I'll tell you, I'll go one step further, and this is going to really light up the conspiracies, because we got Arkansas at the end of the year with a huge game against LSU, but I think Arkansas could even be the fifth best team in the country the way they're playing. You mentioned that game against South Carolina. All right, let's move on into our picks for this weekend and the games of Kentucky and Vanderbilt.
Yeah. Well, this is going to be a tough week to predict.
Be.
Last week, we had the worst week of the year with seven right and three wrong. And the misses were, think of this, Alabama, LSU, West Virginia, Louisville.
Nobody saw that one.
And Ole Miss, Kentucky.
Yeah.
What I should have done is on the Ole Miss, Kentucky is pick both of them losers, and I'd just been half wrong.
That would have been a good thing, yeah.
All right, let's look at this week's. The first game is Kentucky at Vanderbilt. Now, here's the interesting thing, Jacob. Kentucky and Vanderbilt each have a 4-win, 5-loss record. The Commodores are 1-14 in their final game of the year over the last 15 years. In other words, their final home game, they're 1-14. And last year, Kentucky won 38-20. But with all that said, I'm going to go with the Vanderbilt Commodores to win this game.
Very similar resumes between the two of them. Very similar. But I just think the eye test shows that Vanderbilt is the better program. So I'm going to go with Vanderbilt because also it's being played in Nashville.
Well, you know, but one thing you got to remember, though, we didn't get to see give the eye test to the Ole Miss Kentucky game when Kentucky scored 20 points in the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was blacked out all over the nation. They didn't want anybody to see it, so we didn't get to see that, so we couldn't give the eye test to that.
Right.
Let's go to the next game. Tennessee at Arkansas. Tennessee comes in, Jacob, with a 4-win, 5-loss record. Arkansas at home with 8 wins and 1 loss. Now, Tennessee won the last game at Arkansas 34-13 back in 2007. The Razorbacks, though, are 3 wins, think of this, and 13 losses against Tennessee. But Arkansas has won 2 of the last 3. But I'm still going to go with Arkansas to win this game.
I'm going to go with Arkansas, too. It's in Fayetteville. They're on a roll right now. Arkansas has a chance to get in the mix for the SEC championship, believe it or not.
Our next game, and this is a doozy, Houston at Tulane. The University of Houston, as you well know, is one of the undefeated teams. So the University of Houston has won 8 straight and 3 straight in the Superdome. They've won 8 straight against Tulane, and they've won the last 3 times they've played in the Superdome. Now, the Green Wave averaged 23,217 fans last year in the 69,703 capacity Superdome. While Houston has won 9 in a row, Tulane has lost 7 in a row. So, would you like to pick an upset this week? I'm going to go with Houston myself.
I think Kevin Sumlin, the Houston coach, is doing a great job. Rumored to be in the mix for the Ole Miss job, but yeah, Houston in that one.
The next game is Oklahoma State at Texas Tech. Jacob, Justin Blackmon had 207 yards receiving last year when they played Texas Tech. And Oklahoma State won that game 34-17. Now, I want to ask a question, and I know you have all the facts and knowledge at your fingertips. Why is Oklahoma State playing at Texas Tech for the second year in a row?
Yeah, well, I think that's obvious. They had divisions last year and not this year. And I think this is the same reason that Michigan State got a second year in a row at home against Wisconsin. But I'm going to take Oklahoma State in this one. No upset.
I'm picking Oklahoma State. But what I was thinking about is how would you like to have to go to Texas Tech 2 years in a row? That's a long trip, isn't it?
It is.
Our next game is Auburn at Georgia. Auburn has a 6-3 record, Georgia 7-2. Georgia has won 4 out of the last 5 meetings of these teams. Auburn won last year 49-31. Now, Georgia trails in this series 54-52 with 8 ties. So I'm going to go with Georgia.
You look at the statistical breakdown of this game, it favors Georgia pretty heavily. So, yeah, I'm going to take the Bulldogs.
The next one is Louisiana Tech at Ole Miss. Louisiana Tech has a 5-win, 4-loss record. Ole Miss has a 2-wins and 7-loss record. Now, Ole Miss leads this series 8-1. However, when you loosen the nut, the wheels come off. And the wheels have come off of the Rebels' wagon. The first game played in Vaught Hemingway Stadium was back in 1915 when the then Arkansas Aggies defeated Ole Miss. I'm going to say that Ole Miss is going to defeat the Louisiana Tech this year. But I wonder if there will be more fans there this Saturday than there were in 1915 on October the 1st.
But you look at the potent nature of Louisiana Tech. They almost beat Mississippi State in overtime. Took overtime for Mississippi State to win that game. So I am going to take Louisiana Tech. I think they'll beat Ole Miss this weekend.
The next game is Alabama at Mississippi State University. Alabama holds the edge in this series by a pretty good margin, 73-18-3, and they've won 3 straight. Now, last year, number 11 ranked Alabama defeated number 17th ranked Mississippi State 30-10. This is the first time in 7 years that Mississippi State did not end the year with Kentucky, Alabama, Arkansas, and Ole Miss. This year, they put the Skyhawks of the University of Tennessee Martin in between Kentucky and Alabama. So Mississippi State coming off of a win over the Skyhawks, but yet I believe Alabama will win this game, so I'm picking Alabama to win.
Well, yeah, it's a tough one to pick, a tough one to know how Alabama's going to come out of the gate. Not a tough one to pick. I think Alabama will win the game. Will it be close? Yeah, I think it'll be close for the most part. I think Alabama will get about a 10 to 13-point victory. It won't be a blowout by any means.
The next one is Oregon at Stanford. Oregon is 8-1, Stanford 9-0. The Cardinal are just 1-8 versus the Ducks since 2002. Last year, the final score was 52-31. After Stanford had led 21-3 at the end of the first quarter. But in 09, the last time that Oregon visited Stanford, they lost 51-42. But according to Phil Steele's, Stanford home field advantage is rated at 4.25. Now, if you want to compare that, in the SEC, this would be their home field rating. In other words, he's rating how tough it is to play there. Their home field rating of 4.25 would be behind Alabama, Florida, LSU, Georgia, Auburn, Tennessee, Arkansas, and South Carolina. And it would also be behind Penn State University or Texas A&M or Missouri. So, I don't know how much of a home field advantage Stanford's got. So I'm going to pick Oregon to win this game.
Well, they don't have a home field advantage, but I think, if I'm not mistaken, it's the second year in a row they've played there, because, of course, they aligned with Divisions II last year, and I think this was one of the games that they had to do 2 years in a row, and it's a pretty important game to be doing that. I like Oregon in this one. I think Stanford has a great offense, but I heard today that one of their most effective players is going to be out for this game. I think Oregon's been playing with a chip on its shoulder ever since it lost that game to LSU, and Stanford just does not have enough this year to go undefeated. I think the coaching transition will really take effect when they play a really good team in Oregon. As you said, their schedule hasn't been tough to this point, comparing it with Boise State. So I'm going to take Oregon in this one in Palo Alto.
The next game is Florida at South Carolina. Now, Florida comes in with a 5-4 record. South Carolina is at home with a 7-2 record. Now, Spurrier is 2-4 at South Carolina versus his alma mater. Now, the last time that Florida lost two straight games, now listen to this, the last time that Florida lost two straight games in this series, in other words, against South Carolina, was in 1936 and in 1939. Those 2 years, they lost. They lost in 36 and in 39. So that's the last time they lost back to back against South Carolina. Last year, South Carolina won 36-14. Well, I'm going to say that South Carolina's going to win this game, and it'll be the first time that Florida has lost to South Carolina twice since 1939.
Yeah, I think South Carolina will win this game as well at home.
The next game, and here's a doozy.
Yeah.
Western Kentucky at LSU. Now, before you move off of your thought that this is a gimme, remember this. Now, this is the first time they've ever played. The last time LSU lost a home game, a home non-conference game, it was to UAB in 2000. Western Kentucky, though, is coming into this game with a 5-game winning streak. However, LSU's got a little longer winning streak than that, so I'm going to go with the LSU Tigers.
I think the top-ranked Tigers, after defeating Alabama, will have a lot of a letdown, but I don't think it's going to matter much when you're playing the Hilltoppers of Western Kentucky. Well, let's go to the Chalk Talk. What do you have for us this week?
Well, there's a couple things. First of all, Jacob, the top teams in the country, what I wanted to do is show what their record is against the top 15 in the BCS rankings. Now, first of all, the only team that's played three teams in the top 15 of the BCS rankings is Alabama. And Alabama has won two and lost one. LSU has played twice against teams in the top 15, and they're 2-0. Arkansas has played two teams in the top 15, and they're 1 win and 1 loss. Georgia has played two teams in the top 15, and they're 1 win and 1 loss. Oklahoma State has played one team in the top 15. They're 1-0. Boise has played one team in the top 15, and they're 1-0. Clemson has played one team in the top 15, and they're 1-0. And Oregon has played one team in the top 15, and they're 0-1. So that just gives us a picture of who's playing, you know, these BCS standings, who's playing the most of those top teams. What do you think about that, Jacob?
I think that's very interesting. It's very it really illustrates how things, especially when you look at the power of the SEC, and I think that's what's demonstrated there with Alabama, LSU, Arkansas, and Georgia being atop that list. And you know, Georgia, everybody wants to count them out, but they're going to provide a test, I think, for whoever, most likely LSU, but whoever makes it to that championship game. So I don't think you can count them out at all.
One other thing from the chalkboard that I'd like to mention, and this is not a big deal, because I think both these players were deserving. But I just want to point out something. I think you would agree that LSU has a pretty powerful defense. Would you not agree with that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Well, Trent Richardson had 89 yards rushing and 80 yards receiving for 169 yards against LSU's defense. Now, Jeff Demps for Florida had 158 yards rushing, and combining that with his yards receiving, he had 213. So, I guess you'd say then, since he had 213 yards total offense, or receiving and rushing, against 169, he should be the SEC Offensive Player of the Week. But don't you think you ought to stop and think about who you do that against? I'm going to suggest something, Jacob, and that is that Trent Richardson's 169 yards of rushing and pass receiving against LSU was a tremendous feat.
Sure it was.
And it should be recognized.
Well, sure it was, but I really can't fault the SEC for picking who they felt was the top player of the week. But there's no question that that achievement was unparalleled by Richardson. Well, it's been another good show, Professor, as always on Tuesdays, and thank you for joining us. We will be back next time on the Bun Sports Show.